وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خيرا حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for all the beautiful duas that you always make for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status and take the khidmat of deen from you always. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight is the explanation of the 11th para, and the 10th Tarawih was performed tonight. Now, at the end of the 10th para, besides the sincere believers, mention was made of those hypocrites who, in spite of having monetary means and transport, did not participate in the Battle of Tabuk. So at the beginning of the 11th para, mentions is also made of the hypocrites. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the road while returning from Tabuk. Then when he reaches Medina, then the hypocrites will present different types of excuses. And this is mentioned in the beginning of the para, يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So they would present excuses. They will say they could not participate in the Battle of Tabuk due to severe difficulties. Otherwise, they had strong intentions to join. So this is exactly what happened. The hypocrites took oaths and tried to convince Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they were truthful. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing the reality, kept quiet due to his sense of honor and did not call them liars. In contrast to the hypocrites, Allah ta'ala mentioned the qualities of the sincere Muslims and praised those people who admitted their mistakes and did not speak lies, trying to show their wrong to be right. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the muhajirin and ansar. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. And Allah is pleased with the first to lead the way from the muhajirin, the ansar, and those who followed them with sincerity, and they are pleased with him. He has prepared for them such a jannah beneath which rivers flow, in which they shall live forever. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And this is the ultimate success. So in between this, those hypocrites are also mentioned who built Masjid al-Dirar to cause harm to Islam, to give rise to kufr, and to create division amongst the Muslims. So they requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inaugurate this masjid. However, Allah ta'ala prevented his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from even allowing this masjid to stand. Thus, on his command, it was burnt to ashes. In contrast to Masjid al-Dirar is Masjid al-Quba. And in contrast to the hypocrites are the people of Iman, who have exchanged their lives and wealth in the path of Allah for Jannah. So 9 such qualities of the people of Iman are mentioned, which every believer should strive to imbibe within himself. That is, to be the one who repents, who worships, who praises Allah, who fasts, who makes ruku, who makes sajda, who commands towards righteousness, who prevents from evil actions, and who protects the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so beautifully described in the ayah, التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. From the people who were deprived of participating in the Battle of Tabuk were three such sincere Muslims regarding whose iman and sincerity no one had doubt, and that's Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik, Hazrat Hilal ibn Umayyah, and Hazrat Murara ibn Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They did not fabricate any excuse, but openly admitted that in remaining behind, it was completely their error, laziness, and weakness. So their matter was kept separate. They were boycotted for a period of 50 days. However, due to their truthfulness, they were honored in such a way that the proclamation of the acceptance of their tawbah and their repentance was done through wahi and revelation. So this proclamation was such a glad tiding that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, addressing Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik, said, "From the day your mother gave birth to you, there has been no day more better and blessed for you than this day." So the acceptance of these people's repentance has been mentioned in the verse, "Thumma taba alayhim liyatubu." And then four things have been emphasized for the people of Iman. They should hold firmly onto taqwa, both inwardly and outwardly, staying far away from the hypocrites. They should choose the companionship of the truthful and righteous. They should give preference to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over themselves, irrespective of whether there is an abundance or shortage of sustenance. In reality, Allah has promised from His side that every form of worship and obedience will be recompensed by Allah Ta'ala Himself, and according to the amount of sacrifice and effort that is expended for Allah's deen, a person will accordingly be rewarded. So in spite of the great virtues and importance of jihad, we have been commanded that not all the Muslims should proceed for jihad. Some people should remain in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that they can gain an understanding of deen from him. So just as there was a need for jihad in the initial stages of da'wat to break the strength of the enemies, similarly, there was a need for such a foundation on which the buildings of an Islamic empire could stand. And for this purpose, the revelation of Shari'i laws continued coming down, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously prepared such individuals who would become teachers, lecturers, guides, judges, rulers, leaders, and administrators. So thus this command was given that a sufficient amount of Muslims should remain in Medina Munawwara, so that they could acquire an understanding of deen. Leaving aside the necessity of knowledge to run an Islamic state, the attainment of knowledge of deen in itself is a very great action. So thus Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "For whomsoever Allah Ta'ala wishes goodness, He grants him an understanding of deen." This is also the statement of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One faqih, one who has understanding of deen, is more weightier on shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. An important principle of jihad has been outlined, that is, jihad should be done on the basis of closeness. That is, first jihad should be made with those kuffar who are close, and then the frontier should be expanded. So in the last verse of Surah Tawbah, the munafiqeen are criticized once again because these unfortunate people do not even take benefit from the Quran. In fact, their faults with regards to their thoughts and actions increases all the time. And then in the second last verse of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and chooses two names for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So from his own beautiful names, that is Ra'uf, the most compassionate, and Rahim, the most merciful, Allah used those names even for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What an elevated status and position Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam has. So there is no doubt that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was most compassionate and merciful to not only his whole ummah, but to all of mankind. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that from amongst his names, Allah Ta'ala has not combined these two names for anyone else besides Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we go on to Surah Yunus. It is a Makki Surah. And in this surah, the basic fundamentals and beliefs of Iman and especially the Quran and Kareem have been discussed. So the surah commences with a mention of the Book of Allah and the Messenger of Allah, none should be surprised about the Nabuwat and Risalat of the last Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because this is nothing new. To every nation, some or the other Rasul has come. Thereafter, the reality of Rububiyat, the quality of sustaining Uluhiyat, divinity, and Ubudiyat, servitude, as well as the relationship between the Creator and the created are mentioned. We are informed that only that being who is the creator and sustainer is worthy of being worshipped. All the systems of the universe testify to his quality of sustaining and his power. So Allah alone should be worshipped. After pondering over these groups, after we ponder over these proofs and then these systems, then mankind is divided into two groups. We'll find those who deny and those who believe. And the final result of the deniers is the fire, whereas the final abode of those who accept will be the everlasting gardens. A major reason of denial is due to the haste inherent in man's nature, that sometimes man even makes dua for the destruction or punishment of himself or his progeny. The conditions of these deniers is that they do not even refrain from denying the Quran and mocking it. Mockingly, they say to the Nabi of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bring another Quran or change this one. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is commanded to say, I do not have any choice in the matter. I am also obliged to follow the revelation. Do you people think, Allah forbid, that I have made up the speech and I am attributing it to Allah Ta'ala? I have spent 40 years of my life amongst you. Have you ever heard me speaking lies? Or have you ever seen me attaining knowledge from any tutor? If you have not heard and seen these things, then how can I suddenly start speaking lies? Or how can I present such a miraculous speech in your presence? So is it possible that I did not lie to people, but I am brave enough to lie about Allah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's pure life and true tongue was such that even his enemies were forced to acknowledge it. Imam Razi rahmatullah states that the mushrikeen had witnessed the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam from childhood till the revelation of the Quran. They knew that he never studied any book, nor was he the student of any teacher. 40 years passed in this way. Suddenly, a great book came to him, which included unique principles, the finer points of law, the beauty of the knowledge of character, and the hidden facts of the incidents of the past. It was such a book, the noble Quran, that the great poets and literals could not dare challenge its eloquence and beauty. Whichever person has been given a clear mind will definitely know that this was not possible without the means of revelation. Now, in the following verse, the idol worshipping of the mushrikeen, as well as the proofs of Tawheed are mentioned. We are informed that at times of difficulties and hardships, the greatest of mushrikeen, the polytheists, also forget their false gods, and they are forced to call the one true deity. Now, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded to ask them in an instructive manner, who grants you sustenance from the heavens and the earth? Or who is the owner of your ears and eyes? Who creates life from dead things? And who gives death to living things? And who runs all matters? They will soon say, Allah. Then ask them, do you not fear Allah then? To prove the truthfulness of the Quran, a challenge is issued to them that if this is human speech, then bring forth any such surah like it. For this purpose, call from the Arabs and non-Arabs, whomsoever you wish to call. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions the reason for the denial. That is, man's nature is such that if he is ignorant of anything and does not understand its reality, then he denies it completely. So a major reason for the denial of the mushrikeen of Tawheed, resurrection after death, and the truthfulness of the Quran was their ignorance. So in this surah, sometimes in a rebuking manner and sometimes in an advising manner, a call is made for them to leave their stubbornness and to believe in these three fundamental beliefs. Mentioning the high qualities of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala states, O people, an advice has come to you from your Rabb, a cure for the sicknesses which are in the heart, a means of guidance, and a mercy for the people of Iman. See, this book has been revealed through the kindness and mercy of Allah. Thus, let them be happy about this. This is much better than that wealth and treasures which they gather. Then there's a story of Shaykh al-Anbiya, also Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, whose life and period of propagation was longer than that of all the other Anbiya, but whose followers were very few. Then the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam is also mentioned. And the third incident is of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. So this surah is named after him. In the Quran Kareem, Yunus alayhi salam's name is explicitly mentioned 4 times, and in 2 places he has been addressed as the person of the fish. He lost hope in his people accepting Iman, being convinced that Allah Ta'ala's punishment was about to descend. He left the land of Nineveh. When he boarded the ship on his journey, there's a story behind it, and the people of the ship threw him into the ocean due to the ocean becoming very rough and stormy. A huge fish swallowed him. However, Allah Ta'ala kept him alive in the belly of the fish, and eventually after a few days, the fish regurgitated him at the shore of the ocean, and he was the one who made tasbih in the stomach of the fish, and he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Then there's a story of Fir'aun, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا. That when we made the Bani Israel to cross the sea, and then Fir'aun chased them, you know, in tyranny and defense together with his army, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرْقُ, and then he began to drown. And then 3 times, now he professes Iman. He says, قَالَ آمَنْتُ, I bring faith, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ, that the one who there's none worthy of worship besides him, in which the Banu Israel, they have brought faith. And then he says, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, in spite of him now proclaiming, the one who was saying, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, you know, I am your exalted Lord, he is the one now who is drowning, and now his iman is not accepted because all reality has now come in front of him. So this is what life is all about. We must act before and do righteous deeds, lest it will be too late for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.